Though sadness always accompanied her, she carried the weight of her hurt silently. She believed herself a curse and kept her distance. She loved me the only way she knew how, while living her own life in shame. I mourn my mother's need to keep the events of her childhood hidden, but because of it, I traveled across the world to a home I never knew. And with my journey to India, in the laughter of the people, in the wounded souls of the beggars on the street, in the greatness and the sadness, I discovered the true story of my mother and grandmother, the women who created me. Though there is no playbook on how to navigate the path of life, if I do it with the grace and heart of the women before me, then I will have lived my life with honor. God gives you only what you can handle. It's a common belief across cultures and languages. As a young reporter, I covered the funeral of a beloved small-town mayor. He had served for 20 years and left behind a legion of devoted constituents and a young son. After hearing the phrase repeated by those who came to pay their respects, the widow finally turned to her friend and asked, "What if I can't handle it?" It was a fair question, but one without an answer. My grandmother loved another man and bore a child without his knowing the child was his. This parentage and the story behind it, unbeknownst to me, shaped my future. The combination both gave me definition and created limits and opportunities. When my grandmother was still young, fate intervened, and she passed on before having fully lived life. Her secret remained untold until now. The man whom she considered her closest friend kept her confidence even in her death. But with the story, he carried a burden of fault. He was sure he was to blame for her untimely death. One decision, made in hopes of protecting her, he was sure led to her demise. His guilt is something that can never be assuaged, no matter what we say. So it begs the question, was it his decision that put her on that path, or was the decision part of her destiny that couldn't be rerouted? I had 3 miscarriages. Each one was an outcome I never would have invited. As time passed, I did everything in my power to change my circumstances, but fate proved more powerful. Yet, the heartbreak of not bearing my own child weighs heavy, as does the question, is there any decision I can make to change my destiny? Life is a puzzle with pieces that seem to constantly be reshaping themselves to alter the picture. So often I have been sure of my path, only to choose a different one. A soulmate at 16 became a stalker at 17. I joke, a bit. The college I knew would be lucky to have me decided I didn't measure up, and I had to embrace another. Some turns were my choice, whereas others were a forced detour. Each one led me to where I am standing today. This is my final entry from India. I'm ready to go home. This means facing the despair I ran from. I'm returning with a new sense of purpose and understanding. Maybe life is a series of decisions with destiny thrown in. Maybe it is accepting that the impossible means opening another door. And maybe it means that you have to stand the strongest during the hardest of life's times. My darkness has not disappeared, but it is fading. With gratitude for all that I have and a glimmer of hope for what I can be, I release my past and look to the future. "What are you writing about?" Patrick asks over my shoulder. I turn to see him carrying bags of mementos from the village shops. "You've been shopping?" "Yes," he says sheepishly. He holds up his bags. "The kids in town are pretty persuasive." "You were fleeced," I tease, my voice drawn. Hearing the shift, he immediately sets down his bags. Is everything all right? He cups a hand around my cheek. You finished the story. I lay my hand over his and nod. About my mom and what happened to her. I had introduced Patrick to Ravi and his great-grandchildren the night before. As I suspected, he loved them as much as they did him. When he started a game of kickball in the street with Amit, Misha, and a group of neighborhood children, I watched with a happiness I hadn't felt in too long. Ravi, seeing my reaction, leaned over and whispered, "He is a good man, yes?" At my nod, he said, "He is very lucky to have your love." "As am I to have his," I whispered. "Her upbringing, what she went through," I say, continuing my response to Patrick, then pause to catch my breath. "It explains so much." She feared getting too close because she was sure that anything that went wrong in my life was somehow her fault. She tried to protect me by keeping her distance. Ravi told me about a choice he made. He's been living with it ever since. I hand him the computer. Choices. Destiny versus decision.
"Would you have done it any differently?" he asks, after scanning the words.
"I don't know. I would never have made the decision to lose them, but if given the chance to do it again, would I have gone through the pregnancies?" I pause as I think of all the years of hope that turned to despair. If I hadn't tried, I always would have wondered. It is the first time that I've been able to admit that to myself and acknowledge that I did have a semblance of control. "How about you?" He takes longer to answer, but finally says,
"Maybe. Losing us on top of them was hard."
He caresses my cheek. I cover his hand with mine, welcoming his touch.
"What happened to you at the apartment?"
He's asking about the spells of darkness and loss of time. I had seen his concern then, but if he had asked, I wouldn't have had the answer. "I think it was grief. I didn't know how to handle it, so it was just easier to black out." At any other time, the symptoms would have been frightening, but then I barely realized what was happening. "It got better once I got here, and soon enough they stopped." I point to the computer. "This will probably be my final entry from here." He holds my gaze.
"You're ready to leave?"
"I'm ready to go home." I take his hand. "There's something I've been thinking about that I wanted to discuss with you." When he nods, I spend the next hour detailing my ideas about Amit and Misha. I conclude with telling him about the orphanage. "I want to adopt a child," I say, hesitant. "I know the process will take a while, but..." I trail off, waiting for his reaction. When he smiles, I can feel the burden on my heart lighten. He pulls me into his arms.
"Yes," he says softly. "Let's bring home our child."
53. Ravi arrives in the early morning. Patrick is spending the day with Misha and Amit, who wanted to introduce him to their parents. When I open the door, Ravi seems older and worn. He smiles and holds out a stack of papers.
"As promised, this is what your grandfather wanted to give to your mother. The reason I asked you to stay for the story."
I shuffle through the papers and glance up in shock. The letters from Stephen to Amisha?
"Your grandfather wanted your mother to know she was loved and wanted."
His voice cracks.
"He knew she didn't believe that."
I bite back a sob and clutch the letters close. Why did he keep them?
"I think in the beginning they were a form of self-punishment, a reminder of Amisha's betrayal."
Ravi pauses, his gaze clouding over as he stares at the floor.
Then he kept them for your mother. He told me before he died that he couldn't undo his past mistakes, but he hoped the letters would be a first step in making things right.
I scan the letters, reading Stephen's unconditional support and deep yearning. His words detail their love for each other in a time where they should have been nothing more than friends. Their love was never more apparent than when they were forced to be apart.
I will give them to Mom. I swipe at the tears as they flow unbidden. Thank you.
Though it seems like only yesterday when Ravi welcomed me into the home, so much has happened since. With his story, he gave me the gift of my heritage and a source of salvation for my mother. For that, I will be in debt to him for lifetimes.
What is wrong, Betty?
Ravi asks as he sees me struggle to compose myself.
I am leaving.
Sadness mixed with resignation crosses over his face at my announcement.
It is long past time.
With your husband, he says, before I can.
He smiles in understanding.
You have been happy since his arrival.
I am, I admit. I know how fortunate I am to have the love I do, and, because of your story, my grandmother's, the importance of holding on to it.
Then the story served its purpose, he says gently.
When? In a few days, I say. But there is something you must do for me. This home, I pause and glance around the small abode, searching for the right words. Though the people who lived here were only human, their story and spirits were larger than life. They have changed me, and because of them and their story, I will be forever grateful.
I want you and your family to move into it.
Jaya, no.
Ravi holds up his hand in refusal, at the same time he shakes his head. Listen to me, I say, unwilling to back down. I've transferred this home, plus the school property, and the mill, into your name. With all the letters from other family members renouncing their claim, it took only a few $100 to transfer the titles.
You did what you promised, Ravi.
Now, please, take what my grandmother would have given you.
After what I told you.
Ravi stares at the documents.
How can you offer me this?
You told me once that my grandmother was not perfect, but her heart always tried to do right by others. I think she would say the same of you. I search for suitable words.
You were only trying to protect her. She would have known that.
When she was alive, it was filled with happiness and joy.
Ravi glances around, his words filled with grief.
Afterward, it became a mausoleum.
You have treated it with so much love and care since. It is rightfully your home, I say.
When he starts to argue again, I say, blood does not define family. Love does.
I take his hand in mine.
If you asked my grandmother today who Ravi is, she would say you are family.
He swallows deeply. You could lease the school for commercial use and even put the mill back in business.
Please, Ravi, I ask. For her, for your family. Say yes. She would want you to have it.
You have given us a great gift,
Ravi whispers. He clasps his hands together and bows.
Thank you.
There's something else, I say quietly. What I'm about to offer is not... I pause, desperate not to insult him or his way of life.
Tell me, Betty,
he says, confused. I consider my words. I have a spacious apartment in New York. Patrick is a wonderful person. I think about the past and all the steps it took to bring me here. For the first time in so long, I look forward to the future. I don't know if anything can be done, but I would like to try to help. Thoughts of my mother and my childhood give me the strength to continue. My mother showed me that the most important thing you can give a child is support and love, and I promise you I will give that completely.
Give to whom? Ravi asks, confused.
Your great-grandchildren, I say quickly. Allow Amisha and Amit to come to America for Misha's medical care and both of their educations. It would give me great happiness to provide this.
Jaya,
Ravi says, watching me. My grandmother's writing was her gift. It gave her an entrance into a world where she was happy. There she found Stephen and true love. Never again would I take the gifts of my life for granted. Your story showed me that life isn't always about what I want to be, but instead what I can be. Amit and Misha have a family who loves them, and this is their home, but I would be honored to be the person who shares another world with them, if only for a short while.
You will be their entrance? Ravi asks.
No, I say slowly. I think they will be mine. Epilogue. Ravi. Ravi closes the brochure, his heart swelling with pride. His eyes blur with tears as he watches his great-grandchildren dance with Roki, who is barking in camaraderie. They are set to go to America. Jaya has sent tickets for both Amit and Misha, along with information about a children's hospital near her home in America that specializes in orthopedics and polio management. Ravi holds the glossy pages to his chest and slowly wobbles toward the back room. As he opens the door, the memories fill him. The same room where Amisha composed her stories for so many years now beckons him. He takes the steps slowly, in no rush to be anywhere. He closes the door behind him, leaving his family to celebrate as they will.
Thank you,
Amisha says to him, standing at the foot of the bed. Ravi stares at her, having seen her so many times before. Yet never was she as real and alive as she is right then.
It was your story to tell,
Ravi says softly, wishing, as always, that she could have been the one to tell it.
You did a finer job than I ever could,
Amisha assures him, her smile still in place. The laughter reaches her eyes as she teases him.
Made a hero of yourself, did you?
You have always been my hero, Ravi admits, his heart light and his mind unburdened by the weight of all the years.
How are you?
Happy, she promises, seeing the tears gather in his eyes.
Stephen!
His hope blooms when he sees her smile. Yes. Her simple answer tells him she has been reunited with her true love.
I have some stories I have written,
she reaches out, her hand open and inviting.
Will you read them?
Always.
Ravi slips his hand into hers. Amisha's hand encircles his, and with his friend of lifetimes, he knows he can finally be free. Jaya. 2 weeks before the children's arrival, I receive a letter in the mail informing me that all the plans are set and the children are packed and ready for their trip. At the end of the letter, Ravi's grandson speaks of Ravi's passing. He died shortly after they received the photographs Patrick and I sent of our home and the school my parents helped to find for the children. Ravi's son said that he smiled as they perused the catalog of the school and hospital facility. He then left for bed, where they found his still body the next morning. I don't shed any tears at the news of Ravi's passing. The man I met lived to fulfill the promise he had made to his friend years before. He related the story of Amisha to me and assured himself that her legacy would be revered. Because of him, my mother and I found our way toward each other. As I repeated the story to her, together we celebrated and grieved the lost love that brought her to life. When I told her about our plans to adopt a child from the orphanage, she hugged me with tear-filled eyes and told me she couldn't wait to meet her grandchild. Once Ravi accomplished his mission, he finally allowed himself to sleep. I believe Amisha was waiting for him so she could welcome home the truest friend she ever knew. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Storyteller's Secret by Sejal Badani, performed by Siri Scott. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.